Okay, we're in Parak Vav in Hilchos Shabbos, and we're dealing with the halacha of instructing a non-Jew to do malacha, or how you can benefit from the malacha performed by a non-Jew. So in Halacha Gimel, the Rambam explained, just go back up for 1 second, he had explained that, for example, if a non-Jew collects let's say a quantity of material or something subject to to quantity, like let's say food for an animal to eat. So as long as the non-Jew doesn't recognize the Jew, so then the Jew can take from what he gathered, right? But if he does recognize the Jew, we can assume that the non-Jew gathered together some amount of that supply for the benefit of the Jew as well, or he would gather more. And then the Jew won't be able to benefit from it. But that's thing, that those are things that are subject to quantity. So in Halacha Dal, he explains that Valdavar Sheimbo Laharbos Ulumayit, so something that is not subject to quantity, it could go near Vekevesh, right? So a candle or a ramp. Hov Asa Bishvo Atzmo Nene Achar Bishral Bishabis Afpi Shumakiro. So then, as long as the non-Jew did it for himself, even if the non-Jew recognizes the Jew, the Jew could still benefit from it from Shabbos because it's not subject to any quantitative distinction. Now, Ner HaDolok U'Mesiva B'Shabbos. Let's say you have a light candle that was lit at a large gathering on Shabbos. Okay, Im Rov Yisrael, Asur Lishtamash Oro Shemalik Al Das Rov Malik. So if it's a large gathering of people, and within that gathering, most of the people there are Jewish, so it's prohibited for the Jews to make use of the light. Because we can assume when the non-Jew lit, or let's say, to make it simple, turn on the light, he had in mind to really help out the majority who were there. And since the majority are Jews, that's a problem. However, the Imrov Ganyim Mutal Ishtamasharo. But if most of them are non-Jews, then we could say he had, again, since he's lighting it for the Rove of the group, since the Rove are non-Jews, it'd be Mutter for the Jew to benefit from the light. And of course, Mechsa the Mechsa Aser. But if we're unsure, or let's say it's a 50-50 split, then it'd be usher for the Jew to benefit from it on Shabbos. Okay, nafla d'leika b'Shabbos. Let's say a fire started. Okay, uba goy l'chabos, and the non-Jew comes to put out the fire. Okay, again, we're obviously not talking about situations of kanas afashos, but let's say a fire started in an abandoned shed, whatever it might be, and the non-Jew, the non-Jewish fireman comes to put it out. So ein omrim lo kaba the al t'chaba. Right, so you don't tell him to put it out, nor do you tell him not to put it out. In other words, you don't say anything. Obviously, you can't instruct him to put it out because that'd be him doing a malacha. But you don't have to tell him not to do it. Right? Because there's no idea of malacha in his framework. So you don't have to tell him, don't do it, because there's no violation that exists in his framework on Shabbos. Remember, this is a rabbinical prohibition simply to protect the system of malacha in our performance of it. But there's no reality in malacha in the world of the non-Jew. Okay, now the Rambam's going to go to a few specific cases, which have to do with, as you'll see in a second, with things that the non-Jew is bringing for the use of malacha. So for example, malacha, hey, mace. So let's say this is the case where a Jew died, okay? So a Jew dies. She'asu lo gayim aron b'chafru lo kever b'shabbos. Okay, o hevi lo chalilin lispo b'hem. So let's say a Jew passes away, and the non-Jews, let's just pick one of them, builds a coffin for the Jew, okay, on Shabbos itself, okay? So im bitzina, right, so if it's, no one knows that the non-Jews did such a thing, okay, or the, what do you call it, or there's a little awareness of the burial, yamtun b'chdei shiyasu l'motzi Shabbos v'karaba. So then, what you would do is, you would wait Motzi Shabbos, right, for the amount of time, let's say, for example, it would take to build a coffin, and then you can bury the Jew using that coffin. Vimaya kever besartya gedola, but let's say it's in a publicly known thing, okay? The Aron al-Gaba, the Chol Omrim, Ashavim Omrim, right? So let's say they bring the Aron out, right? You know, the non-Jews built an incredible coffin for this Jew, and they bring it out into the middle of the city, right? And then people will say, Shezesh ha-Nachrim Osin achshav b'shav s'laponihu. People will say, oh, we know that coffin was built for this Jewish fella who passed away, okay? And we know it was built on Shabbos. If that's public knowledge, Harei ze lo yikavre ba'oso Yisrael olamis. So that Jew can never be buried, for example, in that coffin. And they shahu before Hesia, right? Because it's public knowledge. However, umutra likvar bo Yisrael acher, but we don't want to let this good Aron go to waste. So you can bury, what do you call it? You can bury another Jew in that Aron. But of course, again, you have to wait Motzei Shabbos plus the amount of time it would take to build the Aron. So in this case here, the Rambam is introducing a distinction of if it's publicly known that this was done for a Jew, there's a more serious restriction put in place, which is you can never make use of it, versus if it's Bitzina. Okay, but Halacha Vav, he qualifies it a bit. He brings another example of this kind of case. Goy Shehevi Chalila Mishavis Lemes. So let's say the non-Jew brought these flutes to eulogize the deceased Jew on Shabbos, but now he's doing Hotzah, meaning he's carrying it from one domain to another. Afa pi Shehevia Mitzada Choma. Even if he brought it, let's say he had it from outside the wall, and now goes into the walls of the city. Yamtin the Motzei Shabbos b'deich shiavo makom karov acharach yisudu ahem. Okay. We wait Motzei Shabbos for a small, in other words, the amount of time it would take to carry it from a close location. Okay. And then you can go ahead and make use of the chalilin. Shema b'layla heviyom makom acher adachoma v'boker nichnasu ben. Now, since we don't necessarily know how far he walked, we can assume, we can be makel, we could say he brought it literally from outside the wall to inside the wall, right? Meaning outside, he got outside the wall was at night, and then he brought it in the morning. However, vim yodea b'vadai shemakom ploni heviyom b'shabbos, right? But let's say I know for sure he brought it all the way from whatever, Miami to Chicago. Yamtim b'chadei sheyavo ma'osu makom achar Shabbos. Then you'd have to wait for the amount of time it would take, Motzei Shabbos plus the amount of time it would take for him to have traveled or traversed the distance from Makom A to Makom B. Of course, this also this only would be mutter if it's a case where it's not publicly known. But if it's like a big public event, everyone knows about the Chalilin, then of course the flutes can never be used to be maspid, to do a hesped for the mace. Okay. That's cases of those who pass away. Halacha Zion, Irsha Yisrael v'goyim darim besocha. So let's say you have a city where Jews and non-Jews live together. V'haisabam merchatz, hamarchatzes b'shabbos. And there's a shvitz, there's a bathhouse that they both use, or let's say it's open on Shabbos, okay? Imrov goyim, right? So if most of, what do you call it? If most of the city is non-Jews, so then it's mutter to, what do you call it, for the Jew to make use of the water, right, and bathe Motzei Shabbos immediately, okay? Because remember, the water's being heated up, and there's also issues of rechitza. Vim rov Yisrael, but if it's majority Jews, yamtim b'chlei sheyach mulchamen, then you'd have to wait Motzei Shabbos plus the amount of time it would take to heat up the water. Shebishvil harov hochmo, because we can always assume the non-Jew who's running the bathhouse is always going to heat up water with in mind for the majority who's there, similar to the case above of the light. But of course, again, if it's a 50-50 case, you have to wait. You always go machmir in that situation. Okay. Now, halacha ches. Okay. Okay. So that those are all the cases that we've done so far where, what do you call it, where non-Jews are doing actions on Shabbos where, what do you call it, they're not openly doing it for the Jew. Okay. But now, we're going to take up cases where the Jew instructs the non-Jew to do something. Okay, so in halacha ches, Yisrael sh'amar l'goy la'asos lo malacha zu b'shabbos. Let's say the Jew tells the non-Jew, do this malacha for me on Shabbos. Afa pi sha'avar u'machin eso makas mardus. So even though he's over rabbinical prohibition and therefore gets rabbinical malchus, mutar lo lahanos bo'os malacha le'erev achash yamtim chedei shetaseh. Nonetheless, it is permitted for the Jew to benefit from that malacha after Shabbos is over, again, the amount of time it would take to perform that malacha. Why? And that's why they asered, okay? They didn't aser in every situation of Ad Shiyamtin, meaning the amount of time it waits to do malacha, only because of this idea, meaning the principle of waiting that amount of time for the malacha to be completed after Shabbos is really because of this. Why? She'im Tomar, just this is what the Rambam is saying is the reason. She'im tomar yehei mutter miyad, right? So let's say I knew that the malacha that the non-Jew did, let's say he dug me a hole, if I knew I could make use of that hole as soon as Shabbos is over, Shema Yomer Lagoy Lasoslo, V'Yimsa Davar Muhammad. So then what he'll do is he'll say to the guy, dig for me the hole, because he knows as soon as Shabbos is over, he's ready to use it. But since they ushered it, right, until the amount of time it would take, for instance, in this case, to dig a hole, lo yomar lagoy lasos lo. He won't necessarily instruct the non-Jew to dig the hole for him. Sharei eno mistacher klum. Basically, what he's saying is that if I know I'm going to have to wait after Shabbos, right, let's say an hour or 2 hours, for the amount of time it would take to dig a hole, so then I'm less likely to go ahead and tell the non-Jew to go ahead and do the malacha for me on Shabbos. So again, the reason why you wait that a period of time that it would take to do the malacha is to remove the incentive of the Jew to ask the non-Jew to do the malacha, because the Jew's going to want to make use of it as soon as Shabbos is over, right? But what do you call it? If he knows he has to wait, so then that knowledge will prevent him, hopefully, from instructing the guy to do malacha for him on Shabbos. Okay, that's the Rambam's rationale for that. Okay, now halacha test. Okay, now davar shina malacha. Now comes the all along we've been dealing with doraisas. Now what about derabanans? Meaning derabanan issues on Shabbos. Okay, or which is also known as shvus. So davar sheino malacha, right? The ain aser la'asosu b'Shabbos ela mishum shvus, right? So things that are not a malacha. And it's only, we're going to make it simple, our rabbinical prohibitions on Shabbos, mutal Yisrael lomar lagoy la'asosu b'Shabbos, right? It is actually permitted for a Jew to instruct a non-Jew to do this performance on Shabbos. V'hu she'esham mikzas holy. O yet tzarech l'davar tzarech harbe, o b'nei mitzvah. So there's three conditions where, what do you call it, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to violate rabbinical law. So one is if a person is slightly ill. The second one is if there's a very, very pressing need for something. And the third one is mitzvah, okay? And this is very important. There's especially when it comes to the mitzvah part, there's a lot of flexibility that exists when it comes to instructing a non-Jew to violate rabbinical law on Shabbos. There's many, many situations where it's clearly permitted. And what do you call it? And it's important to be aware of that. So what's an example? Halacha Yud, Ketzad. Omer Yisrael Lagoy B'Shabbos La'alos B'Ilan Oloshot Apnei Amayim Kedei Lahavi Lo Shofar Osak in the Mila. So you can tell the non-Jew to, let's say, go up onto a tree or to cross the river in order to bring me, for instance, let's say, the knife I need to circumcise a boy or to bring a shofar for Rosh Hashanah. O maybe Lo Mechatzol Dechatzor She'en Iruv Beinayan Mayim Chamin Laharchitz Behem Katan. So to traverse rabbinical boundaries, for example, to go from a chatzar to a chatzar when there's no air of chatzeros joining them together, bringing hot water to bathe the katan, right? So all similar examples. So these are all, for instance, mitzvah cases or holy cases. So where I can instruct the non-Jew to violate rabbinical law. Okay. Okay. So that's important to know. It's definitely very important. Halacha. There's many situations you'd be surprised that. Just to give you okay, halacha yud aleph. Okay, now this is an interesting case. Halokeach bayis be'eretz Yisrael min hagoy. Okay, so let's say you move to Eretz Yisrael and you purchase a home in Eretz Yisrael from a non-Jew. Okay, obviously before Shabbos, but you purchased it from a non-Jew. So mutar lo lomar lagoy lichtav lo shtar b'Shabbos. Now this is a very important exception, but it's a good categorical example. I'm allowed to instruct the non-Jew to write up the contract of sale on Shabbos itself, right? But one second, isn't kosev an iser doraisa? So the Rambam explains, shamira lagoy b'Shabbos asur medivrayim, because instructing a non-Jew to do malach on Shabbos is an iser d'rabanan, right? Umishum yishuv eretz Yisrael lo gazru b'davar zeh. And in order to promote, there's many examples of this in halacha, but in order to promote living in Eretz Yisrael, meaning we want Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael, lo gazer b'davar zeh. So the rabbinical law did not include this idea. So the Rabbanan have the right to do that. The Rabbanan can build a prohibition, and they could say within the prohibition that there are certain exceptions where the prohibition wouldn't apply. Here's one of them. So there is a situation where I could tell a non-Jew midah, what do you call it? Halachically speaking, it's completely mutter to commit to perform a melacha on Shabbos. But if it's for the sake of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbana doesn't apply. V'chein lokeach bais mehem b'suria, shesuria ke'eretz Yisrael davar zeh. Now, this is where things get even more interesting. I'd be allowed to do that as well for areas that were conquered. Okay, so if the melech conquered, well, again, the Rambam holds that there's still kedusha by Surya, but let's say there's areas of the world that are conquered by Eretz Yisrael. Those have certain properties of Eretz Yisrael in them, and therefore I'd also be allowed to instruct, that's also considered a similar to Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael, I would be allowed to instruct the non-Jew to, what do you call it, to write up the sale of contract, what do you call it, in that situation. Okay. Now, Lacha Yabez, now this starts, what do you call it, more business-type matters, when working with a non-Jew, hiring a non-Jew, what do you call it, partnering with non-Jews, investing with non-Jews, all the situations of profit on Shabbos, etc. Okay, so Alach Yudbeis. Posek Adam Yimagoy Al Malacha V'Kotzeitz Damim V'Hagoy Osel Atzma. Okay, so a Jew contracts or hires a non-Jew to perform a Malacha, okay, so they agree on a specific amount of money, and the non-Jew is doing it for himself, okay? V'Afa Pishu Osa B'Shabbos Mutter. Okay, so if a non-Jew is contracted to perform a job, which again includes malacha. Let's say, I hire him to be a farmer, and part of farming is obviously lots of malachas. Okay, it is mutter from doing on Shabbos. Okay, not only that, v'chein asocher es agoy liyamim harbe mutter. Right. Also, as well, if I hire a non-Jew for a prolonged period of time. So let's say I hire him for whatever. Let's say a six months to work for me. Okay. So again, there's a subtle difference between these two cases. The first one's where I hire the non-Jew for a specific job, meaning I'm hiring you to do X, let's say, build my house, okay, where time isn't the issue, the job's the issue. And the other one is where I hire the non-Jew to be my, my hole digger for 6 months, okay? Mutter, afabichu osa b'Shabbos. It'd be mutter for, for the non-Jew to do this on Shabbos, meaning I don't have to stop that. Okay, ketzad. G'gon shesachar goy l'shana o l'shtayim sheyichtov lo o sheyareg lo. For example, I hire a non-Jew for the year to write for me, etc. Harezek kosev oreg b'Shabbos. So he can write on Shabbos and so, right? Mutter ke'ilu katzatz imo sheyichtov lo sefer sheyareg lo beged shu osa b'chol eish yirtzeh. Right? V'hu shol yachshov imo yom yom. That's the key. So the reason why it's makel here is because the non-Jew, I'm not hiring him to do the work for me on Shabbos, I'm hiring him to do the job, okay? He's my farmer, okay? So the non-Jew can do it anytime he wants to. He's not paid to do it on Shabbos, he's paid to do the work, all right? That's what he's hired for, all right? So since he's hired to do the work, so there's no problem whatsoever, there's no problem, having the non-Jew do this work for you, okay? As long as I'm not paying him as a day laborer. That's the key. In other words, there's a difference between a contract, okay, and a day laborer. A contracted worker is someone who either has an assignment or a period of time that he's hired for. But if it's somebody I'm hiring day to day, okay, let's say I say, you'll come in Monday, and then I'll hire you back again Tuesday, and then Wednesday, so then it'll be a problem, because then he's only hired, when Shabbos comes about, he's hired to do work on Shabbos. That would be a problem. Okay, and this is a very important halacha. This is just as much practicality today as it did back in the times of the Gemara, because there's many situations where, especially for those who own who run offices, where you hire staff, right? So it's important to know that the staff would be allowed to work on Shabbos if they're hired, let's say for an extended period of time, right? Let's say they're a salaried employee, and if they want to work on Shabbos, they can work on Shabbos. Now the Rambam says halacha yagimel b'med v'ramur in bitzina. So that's always the famous qualification. This only works, right, where it's done in a manner privately. This is the famous case of hiring non-Jews to build your house, okay? So what's going to happen? So we're in Chashmo, right, and I move next door to Joe, and I tear down the house, and I'm building a new house, and there are non-Jews coming in to build the house. Now, what's going to happen? Avalim ha'isa yiduav ugluyum for semes, right? But if everyone can see the non-Jews building the house, okay, asura shehar roa esagoy osek eni odea shekatzatz the omer sheploni sachar hagoy lasos omolacha b'shabbos. Because what's going to happen is that when the Jews, right, when Joe, being nosy, looks at the non-Jews building my house, he's going to say, Ginsburg, I thought that guy was like a from Jew. What did he do? He got these guys to build, what do you call it, to work for him on Shabbos, right? So, which is really Mara Sayin. So since that conclusion will emerge, that's why it's usher to do it before Hesia, okay? Another case that often comes up is like, I remember in Florida, this used to come up, this question comes up all the time. If you have gardeners, right, that you hire, right, and let's say they come twice a week, but you're not really machmir on the day, you know, having them come on Shabbos is a problem because if they're cutting the lawn, in an obvious way, and people around you are Jewish, it's going to be a problem because people are going to say, oh, you hired them to come on Shabbos itself. So it only works Dvar and Betzina. A good nafkamina, by the way, would be is, let's say you have an office worker, right? Is that considered Betzina? Meaning the office worker goes to work on Shabbos, right? That's probably not for Hesia because it's the nature of what they're doing isn't out in the public. It has to be something where everyone would see, okay? And therefore, the Rambam continues, Halacha Yadalad, Lefika haposek imagoy livnos lo chatzer o koslo o lixor sadeo, right? So let's say I contract the non-Jew to build my chatzer, my wall, or to harvest my field, or oshesachu shano shtein livnos lo chatzer lita lo karam, or I hired him for 1 year to work with me on building my house, okay? Im haisa malacha b'medina o b'so chatzchum asu lo lanichal asos b'shabbos. As long as this is in an area where people can see, like within the tchum, meaning in the city itself, so then I can't do it because people will see it, will say, oh, I hired him to do the work on Shabbos itself. Which he really means here, not just like meaning outside the city, in a more remote area. Right? So then it's mutter if it's in a place where you know Jews will not see what's going on. Okay, so as long as the potential for Maris Ayin is removed, then it's mutter to do. And Elacha Tesva, v'chein, mutter la'adam, in a similar sense, l'haskir karma o sadeu l'goy. I'm allowed to rent out, let's say, my vineyard to a non-Jew. Afa pishu hu zoran v'notam m'shabbos. Even though the non-Jew will go ahead and plant stuff there on Shabbos. Sharoa yodea sheschurin hein, o barisos nasan lehen. Because in general, we know, right, there's a general knowledge that it's common for, let's say, a vineyard to be rented out to other people, or to be, or literally arisus means like sharecropping, okay? But those are normal things. So even though I would see the non-Jew planting in the vineyard, I wouldn't come to the conclusion that Joe hired the non-Jew to do that work on Shabbos. Rather, I would say is, oh, Joe must have rented out his vineyard. The davar shesham Yisrael ba'alav kari alav vein derech rovan sheyoso makom haskiro litno barisos also lahaskiro lagoy. But of course, this is only a situation where, what do you call it? Where let's say it's a davar shesham Yisrael ba'alav. Like let's say we know that this is something that the Jew definitively owns, okay, and is known for, and it's public. Like let's say it's like everyone knows Joe's vineyard, okay, and it's not normal in the area that you're in to go ahead and rent it out or lease it out the land, then it'll be usher. Neisha goy osib oso makam malacha b'shabbos when nikra al shem Yisrael ba'aloh. And because the problem is that the non-Jew will be doing malacha there on Shabbos and he'll be identified with the Jew who owns the field. Okay.